How we feeling, Crossroads Mason? Hey, I am Tim Seneff. I'm the pastor here. Actually, already know the answer to that question. You're feeling good because Chuck Mingo is in the house. How grateful are we to have Chuck? Right? Man, it is a good day. The sun is shining. Chuck Mingo is in the house. And also, she's going to kill me, but it's my wife's birthday. It's Mary's birthday. We're not going to sing. We're not going to sing, but on the count of three, I want you to say happy birthday, Mary, okay? One, two, three. Happy birthday, Mary. I love you, honey. And after putting that attention on her, if you have recommendations for marriage counselors, call me. Okay. It's a good day. It is. And we all love having good days. I know you do, like me. And if we're honest with ourselves, though, sometimes we got some bad days. And I have bad days. I recently had a bad day. And I'm not talking about the type of bad day where we say, oh, you know what? All the circumstances fell in my favor. And I'm talking about the type of bad day where I say, I am not showing up as the person that I want to be with the people that I love. I'm acting powerless, like a victim. And one of these bad days, it happened a couple weeks ago. It was on a Friday. That's my day off. And Mary and I, we got up. We got our kids off to school. And then she did what she often does every other Friday. She gets together with her girlfriends. They've got a women's group. These are the people who build into her, invest in her, some of our very, very closest friends. And so I was getting some stuff done in the morning. And then when she came back, which I thought was a little bit later than we talked about, but it was probably a miscommunication, I don't know what had happened, but I woke up just angry. You guys ever like woken up angry? And you're like, I don't know why I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, but I did. And she came in. And I'll tell you guys, I was a jerk to her. I was like, where have you been? I mean, like, I want to spend time with you. Do you not value our relationship? She's like, what are you talking about? It's like 10, 15 minutes late. And I just keep going. It was like 5 minutes I started talking. Then after I did that, I kept going for like an hour. And then, you know, after that hour, you know what happened? We kissed and we made up. Just kidding. Far from it, right? I had gotten myself a bullet pass to the doghouse, right? I had detonated this bomb in our relationship. And then I recognized after the fact that my day kind of went off the rails from there, right? So then I start recognizing, oh, I'm doing emotional eating. That's what happens when you eat ice cream in the middle of the day. And then, you know, I was grumpy with my kids. And then I flip open the laptop and I start doing some work on my day off. And then I'm realizing, oh, I'm self-soothing right now because I'm trying to make myself feel better about myself to get some stuff done. The day fell off the rails, and it wasn't till later that I realized why this day had gone basically like a turd in a punch bowl, okay? That's about how well it went. It was this, that I had lived powerlessly. I had lived like a victim to my circumstances, particularly the fact that things were busy. And when I have busyness happen in my life, I can have a tendency to treat the people I love most and are closest to me that way. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you can relate, whether it's busyness or something else, that there are days that you're like, man, I did not show up the best way I know how to the people that I love. I lived like a victim. I lived powerlessly. And it creates bad days. And here's what I want to promise you. There is a secret in the Bible that I want to show you that will give you and me more good days than bad days. And so I want to invite you to pray with me as we look at that together. Let's pray. God, I say thank you for this time when we get to be together. And I thank you, God, for the secret of how we can live not powerlessly, but in fact powerfully, in a way that will give us more good days and we can make you more known to others and see you more in our lives. So may my words be helpful as we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Got a question for you. It was, I guess, 3 weeks ago. Anybody excited here at Easter? Nearly 900 baptisms at all of our sites. Wasn't that incredible? It was insane. Talking about Easter, that is the story. But I've been having fun this month since then talking about the story after the story. We're talking about how we can be living a powerful life. We're looking at the early church and specifically in the book of Acts. And it's really, really cool. Today, I get an opportunity to dig into one of the central characters, not just in the New Testament, not just in the Bible, I believe one of the most important figures in all of world history. His name is Peter. And Peter's story, it ends well. He ultimately ends up essentially serving as the CEO of the early church. He gets the most famous basilica right there in the entire world named after him, St. Peter's in Vatican City in Rome. He also gets this restaurant named after him on the shore of Sea of Galilee, St. Peter's. I've been there. And when I was there, I ordered the fish. And let me just tell you, great French fries. The French fries were, they were great. They were. Peter, though, I'm telling you, he was an impressive guy. But he was not always an impressive guy. In fact, as we will see, particularly when we are looking at the Gospels, which those are the four authorized biographies of Jesus' life and his disciples, we're going to see that actually Peter was far from this impressive guy at that time. In fact, the best analogy I know is that Peter was a flickering light bulb. He was on and he was off. He was connected to God and he was disconnected to God. He got the point and then he misses the point. And this regularly happens throughout the Gospels that we're going to see. And these moments when he was on, when he was lined up with who Jesus was and living his life consistently with that, it's powerful. And then there were other times when he just turned off and his life was not lined up with what Jesus wanted him to be. And if you'll allow me, I want to do a bit of a deep dive into the life of Peter, because I think you're going to see that there's so much that we can relate to with Peter and so much that we can learn from him that will apply to our lives if you're like me and you actually also feel like sometimes you are a flickering light bulb. We're going to be talking about that. So Peter, he's so fascinating. Here's a little bit of 411 on him. His given name is actually Simon. That's what his parents called him. He later is renamed Peter. So if you hear Simon, Peter, same person, Simon, Peter. His brother is Andrew. And Andrew actually was the first one to see Jesus. And so he's the one who actually ultimately introduced his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. And Simon Peter and Andrew, they're both fishermen. And I'm not talking about this was their hobby, like, hey, let's go catch some bass. Let's go fly fishing out west. Not that. This was their livelihood. This was how they actually made money. And we know that because they're fishermen, that they actually did not make the cut to be apprentice Jewish rabbis. They didn't make the cut. And so they took this more blue-collar job to be fishermen. And so we first in the Gospels meet Peter here on the shore doing what he does on the Sea of Galilee. And he was this self-assured, confident, cocky fisherman. But he actually meets Jesus when it hadn't been a good day. He had had a bad day. He had had a bad night specifically out on the Sea of Galilee. He and his brother Andrew and their fishing buddies, they come up with empty nets. So they're sailing back to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is there, and Andrew's like, Jesus! He says, Peter, that's the guy I've been telling you about. That's the guy I've been telling you about. And so at that time, we actually see Jesus interact with Peter. And so he says to Peter, he says, hey, I want you to throw over your nets. And Peter says, like, no. I mean, I don't know who you are, but, like, I'm a fisherman. And I know the fish are not biting empty nets. And Jesus goes, I know. Throw out your nets. And Peter's like, fine. And at that time, actually, he gives a little bit of a light on moment because he throws over his nets. And when he throws over his nets, he doesn't even realize what's going to happen. In fact, there's so many fish that fill that net. His nets go from empty nets to bursting nets. And so because he's a fisherman, he realizes this is different. This is a miracle. This must be that one we've been waiting for, the Messiah. And then in that moment, he's light on. He's beautiful. He falls to his knees and he says, depart from me. He says, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy. He says, you don't know who I am. You don't know the things that I've done. And I imagine there are many of us here who would say, Jesus, depart from me. Because you don't know who I am. You don't know the things that I've done. And you need to understand, yes, he does. He knows every skeleton in your closet. He knows every secret choice that you've made. He knows that thing you did a few years ago or last night that you feel deep shame for, and yet he still loves you, just like he loved Peter. And he still says to you what he said to Peter at that moment, follow me. And so at that moment, Peter says, all right, I'm going to follow you. And in Luke 5, verse 10, here's what he says. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Other translations, they say, I will make you a fisher of men. And in that moment, Jesus is calling out this transformation in Peter. He's saying, I know that you're a fisherman, but I want you to become a fisher of men. And I think God would say the same thing to us. I don't know what your career is. You might be an accountant. You may be a stay-at-home parent. You might be a teacher. You might be an attorney. You might be an Amazon driver. All those things are fine. And keep doing them and keep putting food on the table. But God is saying, you're more than that. I want to make you a fisher of men and of women. Here's why. Because Jesus said, I never came just for legal briefs or for tax returns or Amazon packages or even education. Those things are fine. I came for people. And so I want you to be all about people. I want you to be a fisher of men and of women. And so we see in this first interaction, the skeptical side of Peter, where he's like, I'm not throwing over the nets. I'm off. And then he says, all right, at your word. And he's on. And we see that pattern again and again and again, that he gets it and then he misses the point. He's got some good days and he's got bad days. And I don't know if you can relate. I can. In fact, just ask my Mary. Mary's going to be like, yes, yes, he messes up all the time. And so I want to give you a lot of Bible later, but first I want to summarize some stories of Peter in the Gospels, because I think we can see the flickering light bulb that he was. So first, this is one of Peter's good days. He's at this place called Caesarea Philippi, okay? And so he's there, and Jesus, he comes to with his disciples, and he says, hey, who do people say that I am? And they're like, well, there's a lot of different answers. Some people say you're like Elijah, Jeremiah, you're one of the prophets. And he goes, cool, cool, cool. Who do you say that I am? And Peter raises his hand, and he says, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And his light goes on. And Jesus is like, right answer. That is the right answer. I'm going to build my church on you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In fact, right there, he changes his name from Simon to Peter. Petra, it means rock. And dudes, I got a question. Don't we all secretly wish our name was Rock, right? Who doesn't want to be called Rock? Rock, rock, right? Like, that's an awesome, awesome nickname. In fact, Brian Tome gives a lot of nicknames, and his nickname for me is Teeny Tiny. Yeah, it's what every guy likes to be nicknamed, right? Came from Tim, Tiny Tim, Teeny Tiny Tim, Teeny Tiny. Brian, you just follow like the seventh grade path, and that's Brian, how he got there. He's our senior pastor, by the way. But man, Peter gets the nickname Rock, and that's really, really good. I'll tell you what, if Jesus calls you Rock and says, I'm going to build my church on you, that's what's called a good day. It's a good day for Peter. He's in the on position. And yet, just a couple verses later in the same chapter, he actually goes off. Because at that point, he completely loses it. He says, you know what? Jesus says, I'm going to actually have to go to Jerusalem, and the religious authorities are going to have to deal with me, and I'm going to lose my life. And Peter says, never, Lord, that should never happen. And at that point, that's actually when Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. He says, you got in mind the things of man, and I have in mind the things of God. And I'll tell you what, if Jesus ever calls you Satan, that's what's called a bad day, okay? So Peter has bad days, and he's a flickering light bulb. You know, he's on, and then he's off. He's on, and he's off. Peter was a wild child. He was Jesus's crazy friend. You know, you got a crazy friend? We have crazy friends, right? I think about one of my crazy friends from college. We were in fraternity together. His name was Travis. We called him T-Rav, and he was insane. Talk about a flickering light bulb. He was like awesome, life of the party, and then he was crazy. And one of the things about him, I don't know why, but he was skinny, scrawny. You would have never guessed this, but Travis loved to fight. He just loved to fight people, so much so that actually he kept, I'm kid you not, in the trunk of his car what he called fighting clothes, okay? I'm being serious. And so there'd be someone, ladies, you may not know this, but man code, if you're walking down the street and someone kind of hits your shoulder, a guy, that's code for you want to fight. And so if this would happen to Travis, it'd hit him and he'd be like, oh, we're going, let's go right now, outside, outside. And the guy's like, okay, I guess I need to defend my honor. So the guy would go outside. And then Travis, we called him T-Rav, he would be there. And then the guy's kind of getting ready and he's like, hold on. So then at that moment, he'd go to his car, he'd pop up the trunk, he'd take off his shirt, he'd put on his fighting clothes, and then he'd be like, boom, 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 woo! And he'd walk over, take his fighting clothes off, put his golf shirt back on. He's like, hey, what's up, guys? He was crazy. He was crazy. I'll tell you what, Travis was my crazy friend. And who's your crazy friend? And if you can't think of someone, I got to tell you, maybe you are that crazy friend. That's what I'll tell you. Maybe you are. See, Travis was my crazy friend, and Peter was Jesus' crazy friend. So here's another story. The disciples, they're in a boat. They're in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus comes to them. He wants to take care of them, and so he's literally walking on the water. And so at that moment, he sees them, and he says, come to me. And Peter is the only one who has the courage to step out of the boat and actually begin walking on the water to Jesus. His light's on. But at that moment, he then looks to his left, to his right. He sees waves, and he's like, oh, takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he begins to sink. His light is off. There's another time when Jesus, he has made his way into the inner core of three, James, John, and Peter. And so he's on. He's a flickering light bulb on. But then this is a moment where he's at Gethsemane. This is a place where Jesus was going to pray. It was right before he was going to be arrested and then beaten and crucified. This is a critical moment. And so he tells his disciples, he says, watch, take watch for me. And so they say, all right. He says, don't fall asleep. And then Peter does what? He falls asleep. And not only that, but then when the guards come and they begin to arrest Jesus, he like wakes up. Somehow he has a sword. He pulls out his sword, Ginsu style, whing! And the guy's ear pops off. It's like Kill Bill. There's like blood spurting everywhere. And I'm thinking, in what world did Peter, who had just spent all this time with Jesus preaching a gospel of peace, think pulling out a knife and lopping off the guard's ear, in what world did he think that that was a good response? He's a flickering light bulb. He's off. He's on, and then he's off. I'll tell you, though, Peter had a lot of on moments. But think about this. Peter, he had traveled with Jesus for 3 years. He'd sat around campfires with this guy. He had seen healings and miracles and teachings. And despite Peter, who gives this courageous, big promise of loyalty at Jesus' biggest time of need, after he's been arrested, even though Jesus predicted it, Peter denies him not once, not twice, but three times. And then after that, Jesus, he goes to the cross. And Peter's thinking, I'm never going to have an opportunity to make amends. And you got to imagine, for Peter, that one hurt. That one hurt. Have you ever done something so shameful, so despicable, so haunting, that you think, God could never, ever forgive me for that? And see, that's what Peter felt. But I'll tell you, after Jesus was crucified, he ascended to heaven. Pardon me, before he ascended to heaven, he actually came back and he found Peter. He hunted him down and he forgave him. Not once, not twice, but three times. And I think the power is in the math there. And this is an entirely different message we don't have time for. But before I leave, I think maybe I need to share with someone. Your denial of Jesus is not bigger than his forgiveness for you. Your denial of Jesus is not bigger than his mercy for you. Your denial of Jesus is not bigger than his grace for you. Peter was a flickering light bulb, but he was a forgiven flickering light bulb. And that's Peter. And maybe you're a little arrogant like I am, and I read Peter in the Gospels, these authorized biographies, and I'm just like, what a loser. I mean, he's like bipolar. He spends all this time with Jesus, and how can he be, at that point, a flickering light bulb? And then I remember, oh, yeah, That is me. I'm an absolute flickering light bulb. And maybe you are too. Maybe you're like, I'm on with Jesus. I'm on with Jesus. And then I stopped reading the Bible on January 15th when I said I was going to make a New Year's resolution. Maybe you're saying, I'm going to stop with this bitterness towards my mother. I'm going to do it. And then we stop. Or I'm going to stop being so frustrated with my kids and like this angry mom or dad. And then we stop. And so we're all flickering light bulbs. We can all recognize who Peter was. And I'll tell you, that was Peter in the Gospels. But I'll tell you what, you turn the page to the book of Acts, it's a completely different Peter. He goes from this flickering light bulb to this bold, dependable, consistent follower of Jesus. He's the mouthpiece of God for the Jews. It's a completely different Peter. And so let's turn that page. Let's turn the page to the book of Acts after we see this flickering light bulb that Peter has been, and let's see how he's actually on in the book of Acts, Acts 1. So the disciples, they're trying to make sense of this. Jesus has left the earth. They had 12. One of them didn't work out so well, Judas. And so he's like, we're going to have to replace these people, and they're all together. And so Acts 1:15, it says this, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers. He stood up. He took a leadership role. There's 120 of them. He stood up and he led. He said, we got to replace Judas. So let's get this guy, Matthias. He gets him voted in. And the band is back together. And they can actually create a world movement that you and I now hear about Jesus because he stood up. Maybe Peter's story isn't over. Maybe it's a different Peter. Next chapter, Acts 2. The scene, it's Pentecost. It's 50 days after the resurrection. Not far. 50 days after Peter actually just denied Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit descends on all the people who are following Jesus and gives them the supernatural ability to speak in other languages. And people who aren't believing, they actually see this and they're like, what is going on? Who went to dollar beer night at the Cyclones game? Like, these people are crazy and drunk. And literally, they thought they were drunk. And so Peter, he responds to the crowd when they say, what shall we do? Acts 2, verse 38, he replied, repent, which just means change. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift, it's a gift, of the Holy Spirit. See, the Peter before now is bold. He is faithful and he is effective. Skip down a few verses, verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people, I don't even know where they got the water in water scarce Middle East, 3,000 people. We thought almost 900 was a big deal here, whatever. Pentecost, Peter standing up. See, when Jesus left, right before he actually went to the garden and Peter lopped off the guard's ear, he says, I'm about to leave, but I'm not going to leave you in a lurch. He says, I'm going to actually give you an advocate. His name's the Holy Spirit. And listen, you're going to actually be able to do greater things with him than me. And you have to imagine the disciples are like, whatever. There is no way it's going to be better to my benefit if you go in. He says, trust me. Here's a question. Can you remember any time in the Gospels when 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus in one day? I can't. Greater things are happening with the Holy Spirit. And here's why. Because Peter, he's not a flickering light bulb anymore. In fact, it's because he's plugged into the power source of the Holy Spirit. One chapter later, Peter heals this man with a disability who'd been previously unable to walk. And so this crowd forms like, what in the world happened? Acts 3, verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. I bet he was like, as you can see. He kind of gave him one of those. Peter's not taking credit. He's like, don't give me credit, give him credit. He's not arrogant. He's pointing everything back to God. That's not flickering light behavior, to not take the credit. And then after he heals that, Peter gets questioned. And he gets questioned not by who I'd call good cops. I mean, we know good cop, right? We know good cop. Do we all know who good cop is? We know good cop, right? So Chuck Mingo. If you don't know, he's the kindest man in America. He gets questioned not by good cop, he gets questioned by bad cop. And we know who bad cop is, right? How did that get up there? Whose idea was that? Whoops. A little background, if you don't know, if you're here, Chuck Mingo is maybe the kindest person in America. And Brian Tome, he has a different approach. So love them both. Love them both. So Jesus, he gets questioned by bad cops. This is the Sanhedrin. These are the people who literally put Jesus to death. And so he's in front of them, the people who he was so scared, he was scaredy pants, and he said, I'm not associating myself with Jesus. In front of those people, he says, yeah, he answers them. And this would be like you or me going in front of the Supreme Court. Can you imagine standing in front of SCOTUS? It's actually not even that. It'd be like you and me being in front of the Supreme Court of a bunch of mobsters who could order our hit. And that Peter stands in front of the people who he was scared of just before. And it says this, he stays faithful in Acts 4:13. It says, when they, the Sanhedrin, saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They took note. Maybe you feel unschooled. Maybe you feel ordinary. I do all the time. I'm like, what in the world am I doing on this stage? I have no business being here. And whatever platform God has given you, you probably feel unschooled and ordinary. And here's what I want you to know. God loves to use unschooled, ordinary people. Because you know who gets the credit? God does, not you. Not your resume. It's God's resume. And I just want to remind you, if you feel like you are not qualified, that's because you're not. God has qualified you. And God qualified Peter. And he qualified John, and these people said he's been with Jesus. So this Peter who was a flickering light bulb, the one who looked at the waves and was like, what am I going to do? The one who denied Jesus three times, that same Peter, he stands up to these guys. And how did he get that type of courage? It's because he was plugged into the power source. He said, Holy Spirit, fill me. It's you. It's not me. The stories keep going. Here's one in Acts 9. Peter hears of this woman. Her name is Tabitha. He hears that she's been dead. And as he hears this story, he says to himself, this is not the end. And so Acts 9:40, Peter sent them out of the room, and then he got down on his knees, and he prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes. And seeing Peter, she sat up. This is the first recorded resurrection in the book of Acts after Jesus resurrected. That's a big deal. So let me get this straight. Peter, he leads 3,000 people to Jesus at Pentecost. He performs the first recorded miracle of a lame man walking. And then he defends that to the people who executed Jesus. Then he performs the first resurrection. And this resume, all from this rough and tumble fisherman from a backwater town in Galilee, really? How would he do that? He's plugged into the power source. He has consistent power, the Holy Spirit. See, Peter's resume in the Gospels, it's checkered. It's inconsistent. He is this flickering light bulb at that time. He's off, and then he's on, he's off, and then he's on. But in Acts, he's just on. He is powerful. He's dependable. And that happens because he was filled. Now, if you'll allow me, I want to share some quick thoughts on the Holy Spirit because some of you are like, great, I want to do that. But what's it mean? Like, who is the Holy Spirit, first of all? And a lot of us think, oh, he's just a ghost, or I don't even know who that is. And it, by the way, it's not an it, it's a he. And I want to share with you a little analogy here that I think will be helpful to us. And this is the analogy that your life and mine is like this pitcher of milk. And so this is us. And if you follow Jesus like I do, awesome. The Holy Spirit is this Hershey syrup, okay? There you go. And so if you follow Jesus, don't believe this lie that, oh, I don't have the Holy Spirit inside of me. If you receive Jesus, you do. You do. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, the Holy Spirit, he may be actually just sitting dormant at the bottom of your pitcher. He might be, but you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so I don't think about this. You look, you know, it's in there. It's not doing much, though, right? It's not until we choose to stir up the Holy Spirit in our lives that something is different. When we stir up the Holy Spirit, if you notice, it actually looks different. It tastes different. Chocolate milk's better than white milk, is it not? I mean, outside of Oreos and Lucky Charms, chocolate milk is better than white milk. It looks different. It looks better. It looks more attractive. It tastes better. The same is true if we will stir up the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'll tell you what, also, if I left this pitcher of chocolate milk here just to settle for a few days, we have this happen a lot with our boys. It just sits there, you know, after a couple days. The chocolate, it's going to settle to the bottom. It's going to be just like this pitcher. We have to regularly stir up the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we do that, though, we're more attractive to other people. When it's like this, it has no real influence. And so you might be asking yourself, all right, cool, I get the difference. You know, I can see the difference there, but how can I tell if the Holy Spirit is stirred up in my life? And I'll tell you, here's a great way to inventory that. It's from Galatians 5, and the Apostle Paul says this. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit that's going to naturally come out of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These nine fruits, these are things that we're actually going to be able to tell if we have the Holy Spirit stirred up in our life. Is there more love in my relationships? Is there more joy regardless of circumstances? Do I have peace even though I went through a stressful week? Do I have peace? Or am I victim to that? Am I growing in patience? For example, with the people who always make us late to church. I see some elbows going in ribs right now, right? Can I demonstrate kindness to that person who's so annoying in my family of origin? Is my life showing more goodness? Am I showing faithfulness in friendships or at my job when I don't even like it? Can I speak the truth in love with gentleness instead of being a flamethrower? Blowing someone's face off, eating, social media, Netflix. Can I exercise self-control? Don't we all want that kind of life? We want a life that's filled with that type of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit tells us if we have stirred up the Holy Spirit. And so maybe you're saying, got it. I stir up the Holy Spirit, I look different. I know the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How do I, Tim, actually, though, stir up the Hershey syrup in my life? I'll tell you, there's two key ways. Two key ways. It's very simple. The first, stop doing something. Stop doing something. You know what that something is. But I've heard it said that the Holy Spirit is like a dove. And the Holy Spirit likes environments where he knows that he's welcome. He's a gentleman. He's not going to barge through. And so if we are showing him, I'm not serious about you in my life, he knows that. You're saying, I want to know you, but I never want to read the Bible. I'm going to choose bitterness in my relationship with my mom. I'm going to worship Crossroads more than God. What we're saying, I'm going to let alcohol have more of a role in my life. I'm going to keep doing porn. The Holy Spirit's like, well, I don't think that person's serious right now. The Holy Spirit, he's saying, I don't know. We need to stop doing some things. That's number one. Number two, we need to start doing something. We need to start doing something. We need to just move. If you want the exact same life that you have right now, keep doing the exact same thing that you're doing right now. But if you want something different, you have to do something different. You have to take a step. You have to do something different because that's how we stir up the Holy Spirit. If you want more good days than bad days, that's our opportunity. And I tried something this week because I told you that busyness is like a petri dish for me to be a jerk to the people who are closest to me and I love them. And let me just tell you what, this is hands down the busiest week of our year. Let me stress you out, okay, because it's going to make me feel better. I'm going to tell you about it. Okay, we had our niece's wedding last night in Lexington, got home at midnight, went to bed at 1 a.m. Before that, I was out for 3 days. We also had four practices for our boys, 6 games. It was an enormous week for my wife where she had this capstone for her work. We had a fundraiser. Today's her birthday. We're doing that. Oh, by the way, I'm speaking. It was a couple things, and I'm like, I can't even cut the grass. Oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out. And yet every morning, afternoon, evening this week, I just like, how about I try something different? How about I experiment if I actually will pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, and I'll stir up the Holy Spirit, so I'll just trust him. That I don't have to be powerless. I don't have to be a victim to my circumstances of busyness. I can actually live powerfully. And believe it or not, it worked. I mean, it turns out if I don't pick a fight with my wife, we don't fight. It was amazing. So I don't know what it is for you, but I believe that maybe you need to do something different. Maybe you're not feeling connected to people. You're feeling lonely. You're gonna have to take a step and say, hey, maybe I'll go to the Connect event where I'll be and Chuck will be and Chris and Margo and others. You can meet some people. You can try a group. Maybe you tried a group and it didn't work. You got to try another group. Maybe you're saying, God, I want to know what you have for me. I can't hear your voice. Well, God speaks all the time. It's called the Bible. Just read it. And you have an opportunity to do that. And so maybe you say, hey, I'll get into the Crossroads Anywhere app. And I'm in there every day. And you can read a chapter a day. Maybe you're saying, I feel like my life is too safe. And I want to take a step out of my comfort zone. Well, you can do that by going to a camp, going on a go trip, or maybe something that's a little more organic. Like you're at Starbucks and you're saying, you know what? I feel a prompting that I think God would approve of. I don't know if that's his voice or mine, but it's not opposed to the Bible, what the Bible says. So I'm just going to do it. Like I'm gonna pay for this person's drink behind me. Or I'm going to offer a compliment to someone. Maybe you got someone in your cube who you believe would actually be warm to you sharing your story of faith. And you just take a step and you do that. I'm telling you what, we have to take a step. Status quo is this white milk. But the Holy Spirit, that's the chocolate milk. And so Peter stirred up the Holy Spirit in his life, and he went from this cocky, arrogant, wild child to this dependable, bold voice of God for the Jews. He stirred up the Holy Spirit. And are you up for that challenge? I want to give you an opportunity to actually do something tangible of how you will actually stir up the Holy Spirit in your life. I want to ask you to take out your phones right now. And I want you to be thinking about what is one step that I could do, and then I want to offer you an opportunity. I want to offer you an opportunity to text me. And I'm not saying at like 301-301, there's a place for that. I'm talking about my cell phone, like my personal cell phone. Here's my number. You can write that down, 513-919-0878. That's my number. And I want to serve as just an encouragement to you. I want to serve as accountability for you, where you say, maybe here's how I think I need to stir up the Holy Spirit. Or I'm not sure, but I'm going to stir it up. And you can put your name in there if you want. You don't have to. And I promise you, I will read them. It's Mary's birthday. I probably won't today, but this week I will read them. We will respond. Our staff will pray for you. And maybe, though, you're saying, Tim, I don't think I have any of this Hershey syrup right here in my cup because I haven't received Jesus. And I'll just tell you, Jesus' arms are open wide no matter what you've done. And you can receive him right now. And in doing that, you can receive the Holy Spirit. And you can pray for that right now. And if so, you can text me that as well. So I'm just going to give you a minute. As you think about how does God want to stir up the Holy Spirit in your life? Now, I want you to text me. I do. I want you to text me and say how you're going to do that. See, God wants more for you. We got to stop doing some stuff. We got to start doing some stuff. He wants us to stir up the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's do that. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that we have access to. We don't have to be flickering light bulbs. We can be consistent like Peter was in the book of Acts. May that be true of us who follow you. And for those of us who are just receiving you, may that be also true in our lives as well. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.